This time of year, guests often come bearing gifts. Tiny Norfolk pines dressed up like Christmas trees, Christmas cacti, forced paper whites and amaryllis bulbs, and of course, the poinsettia. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension and Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, are here today. We'll talk about how to care for the holiday plants you may be giving or receiving this year, and we'll also talk about great gift ideas for gardeners. We want your ideas. What's the best plant-related gift you've ever gotten? What's on your wish list this year? Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and we're going to start the hour by talking about how to care for the houseplants that show up this time of year. But we'd also love to get your suggestions for great gifts for gardeners. And of course, we'll be answering your questions. We're going to open the phones in a few minutes, but right now you can email us with your suggestions or your questions at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or post them on our Facebook page. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk. Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension is here today. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. And Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State, is also here today. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Thank you both for being here today. And I want to start by talking about these little houseplants that tend to show up this time of year. And one that we see a lot of are Norfolk pines. And, you know, they're dressed up like little Christmas trees.
Aren't they cute?
They are. They're adorable. How big do these plants get if they're allowed to live out their full lives?
Huge.
Huge. They're huge trees.
Indoors, they can really reach 20 feet easily.
Mm-hmm.
If they like their spot and if they've got a good spot, they can be a pretty massive houseplant.
So, of course, when you get them in the little pot with the little decorations on them, you can keep them alive for a while. What's the ideal condition for them?
Basically, bright light, so near a window. Make sure you water them well when the soil surface becomes dry to the touch. Water them thoroughly. There should be some water that flows through the pot and out the bottom of that pot. Discard the extra water. And basically just good, consistent care. Winter can be a tough time for them because the days are short. We tend to have very low humidities in the home. So try to give them good, consistent care. As far as fertilization, wait on that until about maybe March or April. And then just use a water-soluble fertilizer.
So the little pots that they come in, often foil-wrapped, they don't sound like the ideal pot.
They're not.
So if they have some type of protective covering, it'd be a good idea to remove that protective covering and then maybe bring the plant to the sink or whatever, water it in the sink, and then you can put it back in that protective cover if you wish, or just remove that protective covering and throw it away.
But we're also going to tell you to wait on repotting or putting it into a larger pot until maybe that March or April time frame so we know it's going to grow really well. And consistency is the key with this one, because if there's any kind of issue, if it's something it doesn't like, if it's not getting enough light or it dries out, it drops a whole branch, not just a few needles. It drops one of those lower branches, and it doesn't put them back on. So it's one of those things that keep it consistent and pot it up and treat it well, it may be in the spring.
So if things start to go wrong with a Norfolk pine, it sounds like it's difficult to come back.
Well, if they're under stress, those bottom tier of branches will gradually turn kind of a grayish green and then brown and kind of fall off. And once they fall off, that's it. So if you don't do anything, before you know it, you may have a very top-heavy plant that's not very full, not very attractive. So make sure you just give it good, consistent care.
All right. Well, let's move on to another one of the plants that we see a lot this time of year. And it's treated as more disposable than the Norfolk pine, in fact, and that's the poinsettia. And then those show up for Christmas and then tend to just disappear.
But you can keep them, and you can keep them growing actually for years and years if you want. It can be a more permanent houseplant. It just requires a lot of care to keep it blooming or to get it to bloom again. For the holiday season, once again, bright light. Keep it away from drafty windows or vents. Water it well when the surface is dry. And just like the Norfolk Balan Pine, water well until it drains out the bottom of the pot. It's pretty easy to care for, and it will look good, and it'll still be blooming sometimes through St. Patrick's Day in your home. But getting it to bloom and look well and do well next year requires a lot of effort.
All right, and just briefly describe that effort for us.
Well, actually, you're going to put it outside in a shady location. You're going to give it as much fertilizer and water as you can so you get it as big as you can, and then in the fall is when the tricky part comes in, because before frost you bring it in and you have to initiate what we call short days or long nights to get it to bloom. And that's about 6 to 8 to 10 weeks of dark from like 5 or 6 o'clock at night until about 6 or 7 o'clock the next morning.
Every single day.
For 6, 8 or 10 weeks. And then during the day, it's got to have light to photosynthesize. So you're putting a box over it. You're putting it in a closet. You're moving it every day to get it to develop that beautiful brack coloration, which is why Richard and I usually compost the thing sometime in
March.
That's
why you buy a new one every winter.
You leave that to people with specialized greenhouses.
Exactly.
Where they can turn lights on and off.
Exactly.
All right. How about the Christmas cactus? Richard, I know we've talked about them in the last few weeks, and I know that you have several.
Right. They're basically done blooming, so time-wise, it's kind of hard to know when they're going to actually bloom. But as far as care, the key there, again, is just bright light, and make sure you don't overwater them. Keep them on the dry side. When the soil becomes dry, water them thoroughly. I would say on average, if you water every week or 10 days, that should be fine. They are quite drought tolerant. They kind of thrive on benign neglect. And if you're lucky, as the days get longer in a few weeks, it may trigger, again, a second bloom in late winter. So you may get some bloom in late winter. But their blooming is controlled by day length. So typically they bloom sometime around November, December, and if we're lucky, maybe again, possibly in late February or March.
So they bloom as the days start to get shorter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like there's an ideal day length for them.
Right. And it all kind of depends upon the weather. Sometimes in the fall, you have a lot of cloudy gray days, and that initiates blooming a little bit earlier. And sometimes you have some really nice sunny weather in the fall, so that kind of affects it too. But they can somehow sense day length. And when it gets to a certain point, that initiates flower development.
How long can they live?
Indefinitely. I have one that's probably, I would guess, 30, 40 years old.
Yeah, this is a houseplant that you can pass down for generations.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And they don't need to be repotted very often.
Mm-hmm.
They like to be pot-bound. I have one that, the old one, probably has been in that pot for maybe 5-10 years. They typically do better if they have a clay pot rather than a plastic pot, where you have better movement of moisture through the actual pot and soil. But if they receive that good, consistent care, kind of benign neglect, they can be extremely old plants.
We got a post on our Facebook page from Jill, and she says she just received a sprig of her mother-in-law's Christmas mm-hmm. cactus, mm-hmm. which is beautiful. So can you propagate them?
Absolutely. All you have to do is, they have those leaf-like flattened sections. All you have to do is cut them off, and where you have maybe a 3 or 4 section piece, and you simply insert those either in perlite or coarse sand and keep that moist. And they'll typically root within maybe 4 or 5 or 6 weeks. And after several weeks, just kind of dig one up with your finger. If it has a good root system, go ahead and pot it up. And when you pot it up, make sure it's a well-drained potting soil. These plants actually grow in their native habitat in the crotches of trees, where you have some debris catching those crotches. And so it's a very well-drained area where they naturally grow.
How big is the one that's 30 or 40 years old, Richard?
It's quite big, and I do make cuttings on it periodically where I take off some of the sections, because it's getting so big, it's hanging so low. It's on a table, in my office, and it's getting to the point where it gets so heavy that it kind of tips over a little bit, so I just propagate it.
And when they get that large, does that affect the bloom? Do they have a fantastic bloom, or does it get more sparse?
No, they bloom just fine. The key there is the light. If they're in a room where they get artificial light at night, let's say you use the office to do some work, whatever, pay some checks, and you use the lights, then that will affect the bloom, or they won't have as many. But if they have a very dark environment from basically sundown to sunrise, then they bloom very, very nicely.
So you never do any work after sunset?
I do. And so sometimes it doesn't bloom so well.
And actually, the holiday cactus or the Christmas cactus isn't quite as particular as that poinsettia. So it's a little more forgiving on that, too. So, but yes.
All right.
That's a good excuse for him not to do work at
night. Right, exactly. Or work at the kitchen table. Mm-hmm. How about bulbs? A lot of people see the bulbs in the stores this time of year, especially amaryllis bulbs are very popular, and it's something that, you know, somebody can nurture and grow over time. Is there a way to keep those going after that initial bloom in the winter or early spring?
Absolutely. You can keep that from year to year. It's pretty simple. Once they're done blooming, you just cut off the flower stalk, and you put it in a sunny window and treat it like a house plant. Just water it periodically. Fertilize maybe once or twice a month. Bring it outside in the spring, typically May, and set it in the ground. And when you do that, before you do that, harden it off first where you put it in the shade and gradually expose that plant to some direct sun. After about a week or 10 days, then dig a hole in the ground and then set the pot in the ground and basically keep it outside all summer.
And then how do you make it dormant again so that you can force it all over again?
Okay. Well, in the fall of the year, you bring it inside and put it in a cool, dark place and withhold watering and basically let it set there for about 8 weeks or so.
All right. And when you say simple, you mean simple compared to poinsettia.
Yeah. Right. Pretty simple.
Not necessarily simple compared to Christmas cactus, for example.
That's pretty simple, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're talking about seasonal plants right now. We also want to get your ideas for great holiday gifts for gardeners. And, of course, Richard and Cindy will also answer your questions about the plants and trees in your life. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Tell us what the best gardening gift you've ever received is, or tell us what's on your wish list this year. 866-780-9100. My guests are Richard Giron from Iowa State University Extension and Cindy Haynes of the Horticulture Department at Iowa State University. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and with me, Richard Giron from Iowa State University Extension and Cindy Haynes, an associate professor of horticulture at Iowa State University. We'd love to hear your gift ideas for gardeners today at 866-780-9100. You can also ask your questions about plants in your life, 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Nancy's on the line first from Adel. Hello, Nancy.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
I have a hydrangea that I was given for Mother's Day, and of course all those leaves dried up and died, but I kept it wet like the directions said, and little ones are coming out, and so I'm just wondering about its care. I sure am happy that it's still alive.
Okay. This was sent as a flowering plant?
Yes, it was in a little container. It had a root system and soil, and I put it in a real pot.
Okay.
Because it came with a pretty pot, but it wouldn't fit there at all. It was right. Just...
Was there a label on that plant as far as what it is?
It's a hydrangea.
But the variety?
Oh, I suppose there was one, but that's, I didn't keep that.
Okay. I'm going to guess that it may not be a reliably cold hardy variety?
Oh, no, no, no. I'm sure it isn't.
Okay. So it's going to be hard to keep that.
Uh-huh, but it's growing. New leaves are coming out, but very slowly, and I'm just wondering about lightness, light or dark, or what type of light.
Give it as much, if you're going to keep this as a houseplant, you're going to have to give it as much light as you possibly can. So give it some direct light in a western window even, so it's getting some nice strong afternoon light. That'll encourage more leaves to come out, and it'll be nice and full. But remember that it may not, because it's a houseplant and it really wants to be an outdoor plant, but it's a little too cold maybe here in Iowa, it may not bloom well for
right.
you.
Typically, it has to be exposed to maybe some colder temperatures to maybe encourage that. So possibly in the future, what you could do is maybe in the fall of the year, bring it outside and expose it to some cold temperatures, maybe, let's say, teens or 20s at night, 30s and 40s during the day. And that should induce the plant to go dormant where the foliage drops off. But it shouldn't harm the actual plant. It's not cold enough. So you could do that in the fall and then find a place where you can store that over winter. Maybe the garage, maybe a shed where it stays cold but not extremely cold. It might be a little bit warmer. And then leave it there through the winter. Hopefully it does survive. And then in the spring you can bring it outside or bring it in the house and have it start to grow again, and it possibly might bloom. But it's going to be a challenge to get it to bloom again, because the indoor environment doesn't really encourage that.
Uh-huh.
They like to go through their natural cycle where they drop their leaves in the fall, they go dormant, they stay dormant for several weeks, and then resume growth again the following spring. So if they have that normal cycle, they're much more likely to bloom as long as they don't get extremely cold.
I see. Thank you.
All right, Nancy. Thanks a lot for your call.
Bye.
Bye. 866-780-9100 is the number for you to call with your questions. Harry's on the line from Iowa City. Hi, Harry.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question?
Well, we have a hibiscus bush that we were given back about 6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and it bloomed at that time, but now it's blooming again.
Mm-hmm.
We have it inside, sitting in a southern exposed window.
Awesome.
And I'm wondering if this is typical that it will bloom during the winter as well.
Yes, you will probably be treated with nice blooms. This is a tropical hibiscus, I assume.
I guess so, yes.
Okay. It is a tropical plant. It might lose a few leaves. They often do lose a few leaves when you have them indoors for the winter. But having them in a nice sunny location, nice warm sunny location, it could continue to bloom throughout the winter, actually, and do really nicely. Double check this one for insect pest, because you might have to actually, you might see a few white flies or a few other things that you might have to wash off with a little bit of soapy water this winter, and water it well when it starts to dry out a little bit on the top. But it should reward you with blooms through even Valentine's Day, maybe even to St. Patrick's Day.
And you can bring that outside in the spring, probably
mm-hmm.
typically around mid-May or so. If you do need to cut it back for some reason, let's say it's getting quite big, I would prune it back probably in March or early April. But once outside, again, harden it off first where you put it in the shade and then gradually expose it to some sunlight. And once you do that, it can be basically in partial to full sun. Just keep it well watered. It should do great outside. It should bloom quite well outside. And then you can bring it inside again in the fall.
Now, it gets yellow leaves
mm-hmm.
and they fall off. Is
mm-hmm.
that because of watering or?
Well, probably because the growing environment in the average home is not very good. They don't get as much light as they would outside, and so they're under stress. And when they're under stress, they respond to that stress by shedding some of their foliage. And the affected leaves typically turn yellow and fall off. So try to keep the soil moist. Don't let it get bone dry. And try to give it as much sun as you can to provide the best conditions you can indoors.
And don't worry too much. If you do lose half the leaves this winter and it's only got a few leaves near the tip and it's still blooming, it's still going to be okay and it will manage just fine until you can get it outside to more light, say this spring or summer.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Harry. And you can call us at 866-780-9100. Bob is on the line next from Ames. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi. What's your question?
Well, I have a shamrock plant, and I'd like to propagate it, and I'm not quite sure how to do it exactly.
With some shamrocks, you can actually divide it. They'll have like little root systems that you can very gently kind of separate or pull apart. That's probably the easiest way to propagate many shamrocks as well. There's some that will actually produce some seed, but generally it's easier to do kind of a very gentle division.
Well, it has sort of these little bulbs that have come up out of the soil, and it's mostly died back now.
Right. They kind of go dormant somewhat in the winter months usually, where they just kind of die back and kind of enter a kind of a rest period where they're just not doing much of anything. So that's pretty typical.
And actually, and that's a pretty good time to think about division. You might want to do it right before they start to emerge again, or right when they're starting to emerge again, is that's the time to divide. And be sure you replant at about the same level that it's planted in the container now.
Mm. Well, could I take like these little bulbs and break them up a little bit, and each one would make a plant?
You could. The smaller the division that you do, and maybe, you know, just one or two bulbs, then that requires a little more care. Mm. So it's easier for it to, you know, stay too dry or too wet or to rot. So I would maybe take your plant and divide it into maybe three or four larger divisions instead of one individual bulb.
Oh, okay. All righty. Well, thanks.
All right, Bob. Thanks a lot for your call.
You bet.
You can join us at 866-780-9100. It's Horticulture Day today on Talk of Iowa. Richard Duran and Cindy Haynes are here to answer your questions. And our next question is from email. This is from Adam in Lakota. He said, when I was just a kid, we had a catalpa tree, and every spring it would overflow with white blossoms that would cover the whole front lawn. Now I'd like to get one for my own home and would appreciate some tips on getting one well established. I plan to plant it out front in full sun, where until a year and a half ago stood two giant red maples, which I had removed because they prevented grass from growing and made the front lawn a muddy mess. Also, do northern catalpa trees bring the catalpa moth, or is that only the southern fish bait tree catalpa?
Yes.
And I guess that's the end of his question. So,
well, as far as growing the tree, it's not difficult. It doesn't have any specific demands. So just a good, well-drained soil, keep it well-watered the first year, should be fine. They're pretty reliable trees.
They are very large trees, and they do provide some shade below them once they get big enough. So he might want to be aware that the grass may not grow incredibly well under the catalpas either. It probably won't have as many problems as growing under the maples, but it'll still be thin maybe under the catalpas once they get large enough.
As far as the caterpillars,
oh yes,
the biggest concern there is the feces dropping to the ground. That can be quite annoying. So,
but
it's not a tree for a patio or a porch. It should be away from that, so you don't have the debris falling on those structures.
Okay, so the catalpa moth does come to Iowa.
Well, there's a specific insect. I'm not sure which one it is that will feed on the foliage.
Right, but it's not the same as the one that you see in the south. That there's a catalpa, a big black catalpa kind of worm that's great for fishing that we have in the south. It's a different species that's grown in the south, and it will completely defoliate the tree in the south. And my parents, my relatives, a lot of people plant the tree just to attract this worm so they can use it for fishing, and the catalpa can take it. I don't see the northern catalpa or that kind of caterpillar defoliating the tree here, so it's not as big of an issue. You'll find a few, and yes, it's a bit of a mess underneath, so on
all
occasion.
Right.
But I wouldn't worry about that too much.
I wouldn't
That's
either.
A fun story, so You can explain it away.
All right. And this is a question from Damon in Iowa City, and I don't know how to pronounce his plant's name. He says we have a pothos.
Oh, a pothos. Uh-huh.
Pothos. Okay. Vine plant that did well for 5+ years that's very important to us. It came from a funeral. We made some starts from this plant to expand our collection, and the original died when someone else was taking care of it. What's the best way to transfer the starters from their water containers to soil?
Just use a well-drained potting mix. They root very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Once they have a good root system, let's say the roots are maybe an inch or two long, go ahead and pot them up and just use a good well-drained potting mix. Very, very, very simple to grow.
Right, and keep it, while you're getting it established in the container, not too wet, not too dry. Water it when it starts to dry out on mm-hmm. the top, and it's very easy and easy to be successful with.
All they need basically is bright light. They don't need direct sun, so just a well-lit location. Very, very simple.
All right. You can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Cliff is on the line next in Cedar Falls. Hi, Cliff.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I got some kitchen herbs for a gift, and it's dill and sage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to grow them in a vase that I'm not sure what it's called, but it's you often find strawberry plants growing in them.
Oh, like a strawberry pot?
It's a the vase is about a foot high. It's got these pouches that come out the side.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to put the herbs in there, but they're not doing well.
Yeah, the dill is pretty tall. You would have to put that in the top part of that, what we call a strawberry container or strawberry pot.
Yeah. Right.
Uh-huh. And usually when we see herbs in kind of a strawberry pot, then there's like thyme growing out of the side because they can kind of cascade down. So you might have the sage in a couple of those locations. The problem with the strawberry pot is it's very irregular as far as what's wet and what's dry. So the top dries out really quickly while the bottom is still staying kind of moist. So you might have more success with the dill and the sage if you actually just put them in a typical container. They might be easier to care for. And then do a collection of the smaller herbs like chives in the top and thyme along the bottom for this kind of strawberry container. Does that make sense?
Oh, I see. Okay. So mm-hmm. so the kind of herb makes a difference in this pot.
Yeah, I think the dill or fennel, some of those just get a little bit too large. And even sage can get a little bit too large for that particular type of container and might like to be on its own in a well-lit, direct light kind of situation so that you can know how much water it needs and you can water it well.
Okay, but these will do all right inside if they have enough light?
They will do okay inside if they get plenty of light. The trick is as much light as possible. And realize that any herb that's grown indoors usually doesn't taste as potent or as strong or as flavorful as if it were growing outside, just because it doesn't get enough light.
But it still might taste better than what you could get at the grocery store.
Absolutely.
At the time of year,
you still have that fresh dill or sage taste, and it's better than what you can get somewhere else.
All right, Cliff, good luck with that. Lynn is on the line next from Ames. Hi, Lynn.
Hi there.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, I propagated or grew some paper whites, just put them in the gravel and water, and they're mm-hmm. great, except they are so heavily perfumed I had to move them to the basement.
Mm, right.
Is there anything that I can do to tone them down? I tried microsurgery on them, but that was impossible. And I tried a spot of glue in the middle. Didn't work either.
Yeah, there's not much you can do on that musky fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some varieties mm-hmm. that have a much more pleasant fragrance.
Oh.
And so I would look for some of those.
Okay.
They have more of a...
will they be labeled that way? Or
well, if you buy them, yes. They'll probably be indicated that in the catalog, for example, where mm-hmm. they'll indicate that they have more of a pleasant, maybe a fruity-type fragrance.
Okay.
So there are several of those that do have that much more pleasant fragrance.
Okay.
These tend to be more that have maybe yellow or orangish flowers on them, and they may not bloom as heavily as the other white ones, but there are several varieties of these paper white narcissus. A good place to maybe buy them would be through a catalog or internet site. For example, Brent and Becky's Bulbs in Virginia has a wide selection of bulbs, and they do have some paper whites. And so you could go there. They have a web page. So Brent and Becky's Bulbs, if you can't find them locally.
All right.
And the way to tone these the typical paper whites down is just to plant fewer of them so that you don't have a mass of six in a container. You maybe just have one or two, and it needs to be in a really large room. So, because they will perfume.
Put it upstairs.
they're pretty potent.
So fun to grow, but that is something good to keep in mind if you're thinking about giving them as gifts, right?
So, right, and some people love them, and other people have issues with them. So it's a potent smell. It's a nice fragrance.
The nice thing is they don't require any pre-cooling. So
right.
So it's not like tulips and daffodils. These you just pot up like an amaryllis, and they will grow and bloom without any special care.
But if you're giving these as a gift, I might still tell you to go with an amaryllis instead of a paper white.
Okay. Lynn, thank you so much for your call. You can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa with me, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and horticulturist Richard Giron from Iowa State University Extension. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and Cindy Haynes and Richard Giron of Iowa State University are here to answer your questions at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we're also asking for your gift suggestions today. Great gifts for gardeners. And Laura on the line from Mitchellville has a suggestion. Hi, Laura. Laura, are you there? Perhaps we've lost Laura.
Oh, no.
Well, her suggestion was a Master Gardener's calendar.
Oh, excellent.
Which I thought you'd be enthusiastic about,
yes.
Cindy. So I don't know. I know, of course, about the Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Calendar.
Right.
Which is a wonderful holiday gift.
Right. And that's about garden bounty this year. And then there are some counties as well that do a Master Gardener calendar. I know Scott County does a perpetual calendar that their Master Gardeners put together as well. So calendars are a great idea, and both of these should be available at your local Extension office.
All right. Wonderful. You can join our conversation with your suggestions or your questions at 866-780-9100. And next up is James on the line in Des Moines. Hi, James.
Good morning. First, my favorite gift, if I could have anything I wanted, it'd be something that keeps the deer out of my plants. So.
And James, if someone could give you that gift, they would be making so much money.
Absolutely. I have dense yews that mm-hmm. I planted, and some of them are pretty springy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ones that I have that are full, they've shot some shoots out mm-hmm. here in the last couple months. And I want to trim them back so they don't get damaged by any snow that we get. Is that all right?
Well, those that send out those long shoots late in the year, you can prune those shoots back to the main part of the plant, so it's more uniform, but I wouldn't do any more pruning beyond that. So those long ones that stick out way beyond the rest, prune those back to the majority of the shrub, and then leave that until maybe spring, and then you could do some more additional pruning in April.
Yeah, all I'm trying to do is to avoid snow damage.
Yeah.
If we get a wet snow, they really hang down. It really mm-hmm. stays
right.
on them. So
right.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, James. Thanks a lot for your
program.
Call. Thank you.
Good day.
And next up, we've got Teresa on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Teresa.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
What's your question?
I have a jasmine plant that I've had for about 10 years. Somebody gave me a tiny cutting, mm-hmm. and since then it has grown and you wind its way around some bamboo poles in a big pot, which I put outside in the summer and then bring back when it gets cold. But right now it's really losing its leaves, and mm-hmm. even though I know it's watered properly, the leaves are dried, turn brownish, dry out, and fall. And mm-hmm. I wonder what's happening.
Well, a couple of things I would check. One is it does like a lot of light, especially since it's been outside.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of typical for houseplants to drop a few leaves when you bring them in after they've been outside where they've got a lot of light. So mm-hmm. thinning a little bit is not too much of a concern.
Well, it's more than a little bit.
Okay.
I think there's quite a few, you know, it looks bare now in
right.
many places. So.
The other thing I would check are for some insects. This is one that does have a problem or does attract a couple of insects, like, you know, spider mites, maybe aphids, even whitefly.
Mm-hmm.
So check those leaves as they drop.
Underneath?
Right, the underside of the leaf. Maybe even get out a magnifying glass and see if there's any kind of insect presence.
Okay.
This time of the year, you can't really take it outside to spray it, so think about a soapy water solution to spray, and make sure that if you're going to spray that you get the undersides of the leaves as well as the top of the leaves, and that you rinse it off with some warm water. And you may have to do this two or three times, you know, a couple of weeks apart in case there's multiple generations of an insect. That may help. And then just good consistent care, good consistent moisture, and good light. It's about the two or three things that you can do to help ensure that it does well.
And fertilizer, can I put some on it? Like, I have some of that Miracle-Gro, you know.
Yeah, is it blooming for you right now?
No, it has bloomed nicely in the past. I mean, it's so beautiful when it blooms.
Yeah, I would say that I wouldn't fertilize it until after it's kind of done blooming. So I would wait.
It's done blooming.
Yeah,
I would
I would hold off on the fertilizer and get it back into growing well before I fertilize it, because sometimes fertilizer now, when it's not doing well, will encourage a lot of new growth that just makes the problem worse.
Oh, I see.
So I would hold off on the fertilizer until maybe March or April.
Okay. I have another question, if I may. I have a peony plant outside,
mm-hmm.
and I love peonies, but that one does not want to bloom, or it has the tiny buds, and then the ants go on it, and that's mm-hmm. about it for the year. So what, and I know it has to be planted rather up, you know,
mm-hmm.
If you know that, not too deep is what I mean. And I have tried to dig around, you know, the stems a little bit, you know, to make it be higher. But what can I do to make it bloom? It has bloomed in the past, but mostly it doesn't. It grows beautiful leaves, but no blooms.
How much sun does that plant receive?
It's on the west side of the house, so it has all the afternoon sun.
Okay.
It's just in front of the house, so it doesn't get the sun until the sun is past the house.
Well, that should be sufficient. They will not bloom well in the shade. So if they get at least 6 hours of full sun, they should be fine.
It does.
So that shouldn't be an issue. What you could do is maybe fertilize in the spring a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just sprinkle some 10-10-10 or some other similar fertilizer around the plant early in the spring as they're coming up.
Yeah.
Make sure the plants have water next spring in April and May.
Yeah.
When you do water, if you do, try not to get the water on the foliage to discourage any type of fungal disease on the plant,
mm-hmm.
and then see how it basically responds to that.
Mm-hmm.
If you provide favorable growing conditions, it should bloom. If it doesn't bloom after that, then I'm not sure what the problem is. You could try digging it up and transplanting it next fall, like in September. You could try that. If it is planted too deeply, it tends not to bloom very well.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make sense if it bloomed once before.
It has bloomed before, but, you know, I've had it for, I don't know, probably 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it has bloomed maybe 3 out of all these. Because sometimes the ants come, and I don't know if the ants eat the little buds, the round buds, when they are still tiny or what, but I know ants go on.
The ants are attracted to a little nectar that the flower buds produce, but the ants are secondary.
Yeah, they're not
causing
damage.
No problem there. So has this plant ever bloomed well, really, ever in the past?
Well, when it was young, it bloomed like two or three big blooms. You know, mm-hmm. I thought, well, okay. It's young, but it's not young anymore. I have had peonies before. We lived in a different house, mm-hmm. and I never took care of them, and I had literally hundreds of peonies. We had many, many, many peonies.
So is this plant a good-sized plant? Is it a kind
yes.
of a... So yes. It looks good, it looks healthy,
yes.
nice and vigorous?
Yes.
Okay.
So if it doesn't bloom well this spring, maybe you know, digging it up and making sure that those coarse roots aren't more than a couple of inches below the surface of the soil
yeah.
might make it more favorable for blooming, you know, a year or two after transplanting. But wait to do that until, you know, late August, early September, because it might bloom well for you this year if
right.
you put a little fertilizer on it, so...
All right, Teresa, thank you so much for your call, and good luck with that. And next up, let's go to Paul on the line in Audubon. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Hi.
I received a couple of catalogs talking about grafting tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to YouTube, and there's some descriptions of how to do it and some stuff like that. The big question I have is, what kind of rootstock do you anticipate to provide the hybrid vigor that they talk about?
Well, we're both kind of shaking our heads on this one. It is a more popular thing to be doing now is to grafting tomatoes. I remember doing this in my plant propagation course, grafting tomato to a potato plant. So it's
you can do it.
You can do it. That was not a vigorous plant that I created, by the way. That Frankenstein plant didn't do anything on potatoes or tomatoes, so I wouldn't encourage it. But
well, they claim that you get hybrid vigor mm-hmm. from the rootstock, and in the Philippines we used to do that. The native tomato was resistant to almost all the,
right.
the root diseases, and you graft it to a any big tomato,
mm-hmm.
You could get 3-4 times the size and vigor and everything by that. But here they say you get disease resistance also from this raft. And they
yeah.
list about 8 or 10 different diseases, and I suppose you check out what diseases you want to prevent and then go to those varieties
right.
for rootstock. Is that right?
That's the idea.
That's the theory.
Mm-hmm.
That's the theory.
I think with tomatoes, the biggest disease problems are those that affect the foliage. The foliar
yeah.
diseases like septoria leaf spot, early blight, late blight. And the rootstock is not going to impact the plant's susceptibility to those diseases. And
yeah.
so I don't think the benefit is as great as it may sound as
well,
far as disease resistance.
Before and after, you
yeah.
know, and you get two, three times as much many tomatoes because of the hybrid vigor of the
mm-hmm.
roots.
You know, this sounds like a good experiment that you might want to try in your garden this year is to plant a couple that aren't grafted and then try a couple that are grafted. And then you can kind of see for yourself, because we're both pretty skeptical here as to whether that will actually perform well in our climate, where I have seen this work really well in some more tropical climates where there are some more serious kind of soil diseases for tomatoes anyway. But
Paul, call us back
yeah.
next August and tell us how it's all turned out. That would be terrific.
And you can even bring us tomatoes, too. We'll take it that
we
way,
we always
too.
Accept tomatoes. Paul, thank you so much for your call. Stephen is on the line next at 866-780-9100 from Urbandale. Hi, Steve. Stephen,
good
are
morning.
You there? Hi. What's your question?
I'm on my third year planting or growing an amaryllis bulb. And last year it produced, or year before I left, I guess, bulblets or offsets.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Great.
Separated those and put them in separate pots, put them on a balcony. They did really well all summer.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have three bulbs, one large one, two smaller ones. My question is, you know, this time of year, they tend to, the leaves start to get yellow. I draw back watering, put them in a cool room, you know, kind of get them to go dormant to bloom again. Do I do that to the first year bulbs, or do I just need to let them go? If they try to bloom, do I cut off the bloom, or what do you suggest?
I would do the same thing. Basically, put them in a room that's kind of cool and dark. Let that foliage kind of dry up and turn yellow and brown, and then let those bulbs rest for maybe 8-10 weeks. And then at that point, move them to a warmer room, begin to water, and begin their cycle again.
They may not bloom as well, or they may not bloom as all because they're only one year. But they will go through that, you know, creating new foliage, and they do need that period of dormancy or rest.
Okay. What would you consider a cool room?
Oh, around 50 to 55.
Okay, I'll try.
And amaryllis is a little bit forgiving, so if it's just a little bit cooler, the basement sometimes is a little bit cooler than somewhere else. It usually works.
Upper 40s is okay. If you get above 60, that may be a little bit too warm.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. Maybe crack the window a little bit in that room. Quick question. I know this last year when they bloomed, they bloomed indoors, of course, and they were only like on an 8-inch stalk instead of that really tall kind like you see in a grocery store. And the foliage stunted also. They were only like maybe 4 or 6-inch leaves originally. Until later in the year, they got longer. Is there anything that I'm doing, or is that normal, or is that okay?
I would think if their size is smaller than normal, maybe that bulb is in not the best health. And so what I would do is make sure it gets plenty of sun during the summer outdoors.
Right.
And go ahead and fertilize using a dilute fertilizer solution in spring and summer. And possibly maybe repot after the dormant period. Using a nice, well-drained potting mix.
How much bigger pot from the bulb is required? You know, do you suggest like 1 inch, 2 inch bigger than the bulb? Or
I typically like to have about a half inch to an inch beyond the bulb before you run into the pot. So not a huge pot, no. So just enough room, so maybe a half inch up to an inch around the actual bulb.
But repotting, maybe even in a new container that's about the same size with new soil, might make a difference. So even if it's not a larger container than what you've done before.
Stephen, thank you so much for your call. And we've got a couple email questions I think we can slip in before the end of the hour. This is from Alan. He says, I have an older Christmas cactus that some of the flat leaves are turning a darker color brown. Should I be worried?
I would be concerned.
Yeah, brown's not a good color.
That's not a good color. And so, but the thing is, don't panic and try different things which may make the situation worse, where you might water more often or fertilize heavily. Just give it good, consistent care. And just to be on the safe side, I would take a few of those sections off and try to root them.
Propagate it.
Propagate it just in case this mother plant doesn't do very well.
All right, and the last question, this is from Susan. Given the warm weather we've had lately, my neighbor's pussy willow bush has leafed out and little fuzzy flowers are out. What will happen to this bush in the spring?
It's rather confused. it's going to survive, but obviously it may not have those attractive little flower buds in the spring, but it will survive. Willows are pretty reliable, tenacious. They hang in there pretty well, but they may not have much of a display next spring.
But you might have a nice display of, you know, the pussy willows for Christmas instead.
Way to look on the bright side, Cindy. Mm-hmm. That's very nice. Well, this was our last Horticulture Day of 2012. We'll be back again in January. So happy holidays to both of you, and happy New Year, too.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Richard Geron, Iowa State University Extension, and Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, and Sarah Bowden. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Allison Sullivan, with technical support from Alyssa Weiss. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up Monday on the show, connecting with our past and our loved ones through food. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.